com. Last night, I made a connection with Maria Muldaur. You know who Maria Muldaur is. So Maria Muldaur, if there's a muse in music, it's either chasing Maria her entire life, or she is, in fact, the human embodiment of the music muse. All the stuff that she's done and all the music she's absorbed, it's an amazing story. She's right now doing a gospel, promoting a gospel tour. And she's going to be up in Hamilton, Ohio, on the 1st of March, which is next Saturday at 7:30 at the Miami University campus, Parish Auditorium. Great place to see a show, by the way. And she's doing a gospel show now with the Campbell Brothers. It's going to be a blast. She's done bluegrass. She's done blues. She's done jazz. Nice little Italian girl born in Greenwich Village. And the music that she has absorbed and incorporated and made her own is just an amazing thing. I'm so happy to get a chance to talk to her. We chatted a little bit last night just to kind of set things up. And my goodness, you're going to enjoy this so much. Wonderful performer. She's still out there doing it. She's been through it all. Every kind of music you can imagine, she's absorbed and made her own. I'm so tickled. We're going to talk about bluegrass and blues and jazz and gospel and whatever Maria wants to talk about, because it's Maria Muldaur. And I think if we've done all of our magic correctly, I have on the line Maria Muldaur. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, gosh. This is so exciting. I'm having so much fun just going through your music since we talked last night and reminding myself of all the great... You are, let me just put this up right away. If there is a music muse, it's either chased you your entire life or you have in fact become the human incarnation of, I don't know, Euterpa or whatever the music, but your musical influence are so amazing. It's everywhere. I've played bluegrass, I play gospel, I play jazz. You're everywhere. It's just amazing. So Maria Muldaur, thanks so much for being available. I want to talk about it all. I want to talk about everything you want to talk about with your music, from Greenwich Village on. This is exciting for me.
Okay. Well, thank you for those kind words. I guess, speaking of Greenwich Village, I was born and raised there, and I guess it was just a pretty magical place to be, to emerge into this world and out into the world, because right at my doorstep was an amazing scene that was going on when I was growing up, which is what me and John Sebastian jokingly referred to as the folk scare of the early 60s. But really, it was a time when people in the urban north were starting to discover and explore various types of American roots music. People call it folk music, but I don't like to call it that, because folk music to me conjures up a waif-like blonde sitting on a little stool in a coffee house playing a nylon string guitar and singing about her feelings. So I prefer... that's what I call Dear Diary music. But anyway, so I like to refer to it as American roots music. And, on any given day, you could go to the park and hear people playing old-timey Appalachian music, bluegrass, as you were mentioning, blues, gospel music. And really, I'm the product of this wonderful heritage of music that we have in this country, and it's unique to this country, and I just happened to be where it was all happening at the same time, and it was obviously 40 albums, 40 years and 40 albums later, a huge influence, an inspiration to my life.
And it's every kind of music. You know, I'm on this show, and I talk a lot about the fact that I don't like labels in the sense, they're useful that they help direct you, but I don't like because they're confining. And someone might listen to an album that you've done, and it could have literally every influence that's been in your life could be recorded there somehow.
Well, someone about 10 years ago was interviewing me and suddenly came up with this revelation and said, when I stopped to think about it, you single-handedly invented the term, the genre of called Americana. Decades before anybody, came up with a name for it. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I guess he's right in that on my first solo album that had that big hit, Midnight at the Oasis, on it, which was a big pop hit, mm-hmm. although there was a song you couldn't define in any way. Was it jazz? What was that? But anyway, I did a Dolly Parton song. I did an old New Orleans blues, Don't You Feel My Leg. I did a Jimmy Rogers tune, and I did some contemporary tunes as well. And so I had no plan. There was no conscious plan involved. It was just, I think I'll record a bunch of tunes I love. And so even though I had a big hit with Midnight at the Oasis, I didn't make subsequent albums with an idea of having more pop hits, although I did have another couple of hits on a few albums later. But the very next thing I tried to do on my next album was an old Skip James tune. I did I called my old friends Doc Watson and his son Merle Watson out to California to record Honey Babe Blues with me, an old Appalachian tune. So I've just been following my bliss all these years, and just luckily I've been exposed to so much great music that I probably could live another two lifetimes and not be done exploring it all.
And it's, you're right, and it's the blues. Your Mississippi John Hurt, your Bessie Smith, you're in the jazz, and you're in the jug. In jug band music, to me, it's just amazing. I want to ask you this before we get off of the Washington Square, all that music up there. Do you know? I've asked other people. I've asked Eric Weisberg, what happened? Why did it occur there? What do you think, thinking back to that moment when folk music and all that stuff was happening in the park and bluegrass comes in out of nowhere? And how did that, do you even think back how it occurred?
How did that happen? Well, if you think back to the absolutely bland pap that was being offered up on the pop radio at that time, the 50s was a time with, you know, great hits like How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, and When the Moon Hits Your Eye Like a Big Pizza Pie. That's Amore. The music was very bland and homogenized and clean cut, and just, you know, I mean, there are other periods of time when much more exciting music was the pop music, like the swing era and the, early jazz and so forth. And even in the 20s, the blues was very popular on the radio. But after the 50s, somehow, I don't know how it leaked out, but people started taking an interest in this. It could have had to do with people like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie, who, of course, were in the social protest sort of category of folk music. But they were bringing out people like Elizabeth Cotton and Leadbelly. And once people, whatever it was, once people got exposed to this much richer, much more soulful, much more authentic kind of music, there was no turning back. I mean, they became enamored of it and started exploring it because it was infinitely more interesting than what was on the radio. And now I think there's been another whole resurgence of it. I seem to think, I don't know, but I think maybe the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, that came out in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. where, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the music on that soundtrack, except for the great godfather of all bluegrass and soulful music, Ralph Stanley, but mm-hmm. a lot of it is what I would have called old-timey light, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But for the average college kid, you know, in the 90s, or average person who hadn't heard all the original stuff, it still was like, wow, what's that? And I think since the 90s, there's been a huge proliferation of bluegrass bands and old-timey bands and pickers and players and festivals and clubs. And I think this is music of the people, by the people, and for the people. So it's not going anywhere. I mean, and it all proliferates with no help from the above-ground media.
That's a good point.
Not going to be a big article about it in People magazine or Rolling Stone or anything. Talk about grassroots. This music is grassroots music, and it just spreads by its own energy and by its own wonderful appeal.
That's a great point, because I really do. I don't like, of course, I say this now, and there aren't many record stores where you can go in and see the placards with the descriptions of music as you're going through, but I don't like those labels. It just, they're handy, but I don't like someone thinking, well, here's Maria Muldaur. She's in blues. I don't really want blues. I might want jazz. Not recognizing maybe the casual listener
well,
may not know.
Whatever category they go to, they're going to find some of my records.
They ought to. They ought to. If the record store owner is doing it correctly, they absolutely ought to. So that's a good point, that it's not, it happens on its own. Maybe in spite of those market forces that, you know, want to direct you to the articles about the music that's being sold, there's every once in a while it bubbles up again, right?
It does. And more strong than ever. I mean, in the summer, and blues is a perfect example. I mean, in the summer when I'm looking for, I mean, I have a band, I have a couple of bands that I regularly work with, but if I need a player, you can barely find a good player that isn't busy touring Europe on a big blues tour or something. I mean, this isn't just in the States. I'm talking about worldwide. Mm-hmm. This music is so loved and is being more and more appreciated. And, of course, we can lament, you know, the demise of the good old record store and so forth. But with the new technology has come something so amazing to me, because back in the days when Victoria Spivey took me under her wing, this is in 1963, because she wanted me to record with the Even Dozen Jug Band, she had told them, she said, "You boys sound all right, but y'all need some sex appeal up there. You ought to get this little gal that plays the fiddle. You get her in your band and you'll have something." So I didn't even know what jug band music was, but it sounded like fun and I was game. So she took me under her wing. When I think back on it, I think, oh my God, what a privilege and an honor and an opportunity it was for me to get to know one of the great blues queens herself, you know, as a personal friend. But anyway, for instance, she started playing the old 78s in her apartment and played me a track of Memphis Minnie singing Tricks Ain't Walking. And, you know, I heard it on the scratchy old 78 and I was so deeply affected by it. And wanted to find more, but there wasn't. I mean, it was just total happenstance that you might ever hear another one of her, you know, recordings at that time. Now, if I for instance, I did an album paying tribute to Memphis Minnie, mm-hmm. my 40th album. It came out about a year and a half ago. And now, if somebody's turned on by that, they can, with a click of the mouse, say, "Wow, Memphis Minnie, that sounds interesting," and download everything she ever did. So I think that's a wonderful development, that people can discover and share all this old stuff that otherwise would just be lost in the dusty bins in the basement of the Smithsonian.
Well, you're right. You're right. I mean, and you're right. And as much fun as it was, and you probably did it, I did it. You go into a record store and you find this thing, think, "Whoa,
yeah.
What a great thing!" But you're right. Maybe those things are now available because someone like Maria Muldaur exposes somebody to another artist, and you did this album tribute to Memphis Minnie, and now they can find it and they can say, "Who is that?" And that's just the way it is. I guess it's what we're going to have to deal with, and it works. It works.
Yeah, it does indeed. So thanks for having me on your Bluegrass show. Not too many people know that Bluegrass was one of my first loves.
Well,
and before I even joined the Even Dozen Jug Band in 1963 and 1962, I was in a little thrown together group with the great David Grisman, who was like 17 at the time, mm-hmm. and already a mandolin picking genius, and a couple of other guys. And we had a band called Maria and the Washington Square Ramblers, and we sang a lot of Stanley Brothers and Flat and Scruggs and, you know, Reno and Smiley tunes. And so that's still a big love of mine.
Well, it is. And you've recorded, and like as you said, you have to find people. You have to find Maria Muldaur's music. And if you want to latch on to the bluegrass stuff that's mixed in with these wonderful albums, you can do that. It might take a little effort, but Maria Muldaur is the Mule Skinner. I remember, I have this, I don't think you're on the CD, but I remember it was Bill Keith and, weren't you part of a group or I want to say Bill Keith and Peter Rowan and, what was it? I can't remember how
Not
many.
Not Older Than the Way. You don't mean Older Than the Way.
No. There was a thing that was really a TV show that was eventually released on CD.
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
But let's talk about the show I'm coming.
Yes. We've been talking about different little things, but.
Can you hold on 1 minute? My little ear thing came up.
Well, get your ear thing in, because what's the point without that?
Are you there?
I'm still here. You got your ear thing in?
My ear thing is in. So great. What were you saying?
Well, we were going to start talking about this gospel. You're touring now, and you're going to be up in Hamilton, Ohio on March 1st, next Saturday, and you're going to be doing, I think, primarily gospel music. That's what we're talking about, whatever you bring to the stage, and you're touring with the Campbell Brothers. But let's talk about what you're doing now. Because everybody knows now, by now, throughout this entire show, I've told them Maria Muldaur's done it all. But now we're going to talk about what you're actually on the road and what you're doing next Saturday up in Hamilton, Ohio at it's Miami University Parish Auditorium. Beautiful place to have a concert, by the way.
Well, I was so confused for the longest time. I thought we were going to Florida too, I realized, which would have been way fun at this point in the season. But anyway, last year, somebody had the idea to put me together with this amazing group, the Campbell Brothers, who are sacred steel players, and sacred steel is a form of African American gospel music that's been around for quite a while, maybe 30, 40 years, but it's just now gaining huge, you know, recognition. And these brothers are just amazing. The whole thing with sacred steel is that it uses pedal steel and lap steel and various forms of slide guitars to emulate the sounds, the wails and moans and trips and turns of a gospel singer. So it has this really soulful, eerie, haunting kind of quality to it. And it's very high energy music. The music itself is kind of traditional old school gospel. Anyway, we put together this show called, you know, somebody asked me, would I be interested? I said, are you kidding me? In a heartbeat. I was already a huge fan of the Campbells. And so we put together a show called Spirit and the Blues. And the title of the show says it all. The show's very high spirited, high energy, very inspiring, very danceable, because in all traditional African American churches, there's a lot of dancing going on. People dance in the spirit. It's very danceable music, and very uplifting. So we're presenting a show that presents music where the blues and gospel converge, the crossroads where blues and gospel come together. And I did several shows with them last year, and we're just starting up again now. And this show coming up will be our first one of this year, and I'm so excited because I have rarely been so energized and uplifted as when I've been singing with these guys. I've loved gospel music all my life. I've sung gospel with Mavis Staples and Bonnie Raitt and all kinds of wonderful people, but doing a whole show like this with these amazing, talented, soulful musicians is just a huge joy for me. So I hope people will come out and check it out and bring your dancing shoes and prepare to have your spirits lifted and your feet maybe not even touching the floor.
Yet another infusion of music into Maria Muldaur and back out to the fans again.
Yeah.
With the sacred steel. Do they accompany you on stage?
I'm sorry?
Do they accompany you on stage?
Yeah, that's the point.
Oh, okay.
It's not just me and then them.
Okay, good.
It's me and them.
Okay.
It's them and me. It's us-ins.
It's us-ins, okay.
I become an honorary Campbell sister.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, all right. That solves that. So that'll be a blast. I mean, and I've played several of the gospel tunes already throughout this program, which this is a very broad, I've told you this before, a very broad base. I play all sorts of things. Let me ask you this. If you could sing one style of one song, that was it. You had to make a choice. Would it be a gospel blues type? You seem to really thrive in that.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. It would be. I hope I never have to make that.
No, decision. No, no. That's a stupid question, but I wanted to know.
No, I hear you, but I would say yes, because I always somehow come back to the blues. What I do when I'm not working with the Campbell Brothers or doing something fun and different, like I did last fall when I toured with Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones as a special guest artist for 6 weeks. You know, so I'm always doing different projects. But my home band, my main band is my Red Hot Bluesiana band. And Bluesiana is a word I made up years ago to describe a kind of New Orleans-flavored blues, R&B, and what we call swamp funk that we like to play. So that flavor has pretty much seeped into everything, every musical thing I've cooked up in the last 20 years or so. I would say, and 2 years ago, for my 39th album, I did an album called Steady Love, and my agent said, you know, you've been doing this series of albums paying tribute to the early blues pioneers, and most of them were acoustic blues albums, you know, doing various vintage blues material. He said, but when you go out to perform, you perform with the Bluesiana band, so why don't you do an album that really reflects what you do live most of the time? I thought that was a great idea. So I went to New Orleans and hooked up with my very favorite New Orleans musicians and set about making a Bluesiana album. But even though I meant it to be way more bluesy, there's probably about at least 4 gospel-tinged songs that snuck their way into the playlist, because to me, gospel and blues are very, very interrelated and very related to each other.
Very spiritual.
Yeah, because the blues are a way of testifying as to what's going mm-hmm. on in life, and that the blues are, that's why I can sing a Memphis mini song that's almost 100 years old and have it be, have it be relevant. It's not like I'm dusting off an old antique and putting it on display in a little glass case. It's like something very usable even right now in 2014, because the blues are, you know, address all the universal issues and concerns of the human heart and soul. So something Memphis Minnie wrote 90 years ago is still something you can fervently express now, because it's the same kind of things that people are still thinking about.
Well,
and
you certainly can. You certainly can, Maria. You make these tunes your own. There's so many things that you've harvested over the years. Like, and I know you were exposed to all kinds of music, and we could talk about that for literally
harvested.
For...
I like that word, harvested.
You can have it. You can use it. You can use it. I'll give that. I'll give you your gift today for being on the show, was you can use the word harvested music. I can do that.
Okay. So are we going to play any more songs for the folks? They don't just want to hear me. Yeah.
Well, we've played 3 or 4 already. I'm going to play another one. I want to play Blessings. I want to end my show today with Blessings, because I love that.
I'll tell you a little story about
yes,
that.
Yes, please.
That was on my, that was on an album that was nominated for a Grammy. I modestly forgot to mention that of all these tribute albums in the last 10 years or so, I've gotten 3 Grammy nominations, which is just amazing when you think that I'm doing this vintage music and on a tiny budget, recorded in my living room for the most part. But the first of the series was one called Richland Woman Blues, mm-hmm. and I pay tribute to people like Mississippi John Hurt. The title song is one of his, and Bessie Smith, all kinds of people. And I wanted to do a Mississippi Fred McDowell tune, and I found this gorgeous, old, haunting, old school kind of Southern spiritual, what we almost used to call a field holler, that he did with his wife. And it was on a field recording that someone had done. And I called my dear soul sister, Bonnie Raitt, to come and help me with it, because she actually learned to play slide guitar from Mississippi Fred McDowell himself. Not off a record, but from him in person. And so I thought, who better to help me present that song? So we got together. She's playing slide guitar, and both of us are singing, and it's quite a haunting and beautiful song.
Well, I wanted to say that for the end, and I'm going to say that for when we're finished. So I played the other cuts that we've been sneaking into the, and I even snuck in the Ralph Stanley tune that you did with Ralph.
Oh, good God! What a high point of my. Bob Dylan said when he did a duet with Ralph Stanley on the album before that, was an album of duets. He said that it was the highlight of his career. And
You do impressions. You do impressions.
I said, I have to agree with Bob. Getting to sing with Ralph Stanley for a singer, especially that has just loved and revered his music for so many years. It's like dying and going to singer heaven. Only I didn't even have to die to do it. It's an otherworldly experience, and I've had the great pleasure of singing with him on several occasions. He's one of my faves.
The thing about him,
you could tell.
Oh yeah, well he has to be. But the thing about him, still even at the age, you know, he last time I saw him was probably last year, and he's carted up. He's at a golf cart, and he sits. Of course, the banjo just weighs him down. But when he stands up and it's time to sing, it's exactly the same thing you were hearing when you were sitting doing a duet with him. It never changes. His voice never changes.
Oh, God. He's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I love Bill Monroe, too, but Ralph Stanley has something. There's a lot of blues, in Ralph Stanley's singing. And that's another thing. These different types of roots music are all intertwined. They all emerged from the rural South, and they all impart their own flavors to each genre. There's definitely a kind of a gumbo going on there, where many different musical flavors that have simmered next to each other for so long definitely influence each other, you know.
And
that song, The Memory of Your Smile, mm-hmm. after I do that, when I do it live, I always say, or when I'm introducing it, I always say, here's a song that put the blues in bluegrass. Because all those little turns and those bluesy notes and the whole plaintive wailing of it, it's the blues.
And plaintive is the descriptive word of all of these different types of music, that there's something from the soul. Right, and it's really the soul and the spirit communicating. Don't you agree?
I certainly do.
Yeah, and you do it so well. I'm very excited.
Are you coming to the concert?
Absolutely, Steve? Absolutely.
Oh, good.
I will
All
be
right.
there.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know,
I'm thrilled.
Help support the event and get the word out so everyone can come out and hear us.
Thanks.
Saturday night.
Next Saturday up in Hampton. Thank you for allowing me to explore. Here's what I can do. I'm a curious person, and when I find out that Maria Muldaur can be available to talk to me, I have so many questions. We could do this for days. And I'm so thrilled that you found the time. We only set this up last night, folks. You're listening. I'm so glad that you had a chance to. Now we're going to do this again in another venue on Wednesday.
No, save some of the questions, right?
Yes. Maria Muldaur, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to close out my show with that It's a Blessing, the live version, and I'll let you get back to what you're doing. But I thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Steve. I look forward to speaking with you on your jazz show Wednesday night. We can talk about some of my jazz.
Oh, yeah. Folks, we've just barely scratched the surface of what Maria has to offer and talk about. We're gonna have fun Wednesday night. All right. Listen, Maria Muldaur, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you Wednesday. Yes. Then I'll see you next Saturday. How's that?
Okay, it's a date.
All right, it's a date. I like that. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
I got a date with Maria Muldaur next Saturday up in Hamilton, Ohio, at the Parish Auditorium, where she's going to be performing with the Campbell Brothers. And I wasn't quite sure whether she had a band or was going to be, but they're going to be supporting her and she's going to be supporting them. That's going to be a not-to-miss event. If you got anything from that conversation, you realize that Maria is so absorbent of all the musical influences that she comes across. Bessie Smith, she touched on a little bit, Mississippi John Hurt. She does jazz. She does big band jazz. I have another radio outlet. We're going to talk Wednesday on that about her big band. She fronts a big band on some music that she does. And it's breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. Maria Muldaur is that muse. She's that music muse where it's chasing her so fast because it wants to be her. Is there anything that she can't wrap her heart around and make her own? I don't think so. Trust me, we barely got into the influences that have affected Maria Muldaur, the ones that she's taken and projected forward and made more out of. An amazing resource for American roots, Americana music, whatever you want to call it. It's everything. It's jazz, blues, gospel, bluegrass. Thanks, Maria, so much. We have a date next Saturday at Hamilton, Ohio, Parish Auditorium of Miami University. I got to find the right flowers to bring.